Hey guys, it's Tim and this is Wrestling Unlimited, as it's Monday and tonight was Monday Night Raw. Not just any Monday Night Raw, but a freaking fantastic Raw from start to finish. And I'm not just saying like it started good and ended good. It was good all the way through. It had a great opening segment. It had a tremendous segment with CM Punk, Seth Rollins, and Drew McIntyre. It had a great segment with Becky Lynch, Dominic Mysterio, and Rhea Ripley. It had a great, I guess you could call it a main event segment, what closed the show. And even like the stuff in between all of that, which you would call the filler, was all really good too. Like, we got another hell of a banger from JD and Ricochet. They did a great job in the gauntlet match. And then another great match again tonight. So yeah, I'm excited to talk about this Raw because it was so good. We also got Luke over here with us. Luke, how you doing? What did you think of tonight's Raw?
I'm doing pretty good, and I thought Raw was freaking amazing. It ran really smooth.
Mm-hmm.
It started off really good, ended really good. Heck, the middle part was even pretty good.
Even that Candice LeRae Ivy Nile match wasn't bad.
Oh, yeah.
So much to talk about. Such a great episode of Raw. And The Rock, he delivered on his promise. Cody said he couldn't, but he did. Told him, tonight I'm going to make you bleed. And tonight he made him bleed. Also, you think this is the first time Cody got to actually bleed since being back in WWE? Like, he's bled because he's gotten busted open. But I think this is the first time he actually, like, bladed since coming back to WWE. We know he used to do it in AEW. I can't think of another time when he would have actually bladed himself.
Did he during like his Hell in a Cell match with Seth?
I don't even know if he bled during that match.
Or about him versus Brock? Or was Brock the one that just bled?
Oh, it was Brock by accident when Brock went headfirst into the exposed buckle. Like, I don't know if Brock... Well, I don't know if it was by accident or not, but yeah, Brock's the one that bled there.
Yeah, Brock was the one that bled. Yeah, I don't know, like Cody, actually.
Cody's bled since coming back to WWE. He's been busted open for sure. But I think this was the first time that it would have been like super intentional. He gigged himself, as they say, to get color. We know he used to do it in AEW and on the indies and ROH and stuff, but this would have been the first... I think, and if you're watching live, let me know in the chat, or if you're watching later, let me know in the comments below. Is this the first time Cody actually, like, gigged, cut himself? It probably is, because WWE's really against it, unless, like, it really has to happen, like, tonight. So, which also leads me to think, does that mean he's not going to bleed at WrestleMania? Intentionally? Because I thought it would be... He gets busted open in the tag match, and then that's when The Rock wipes the blood on the thing and hands the belt to the mom, not 2 weeks before.
Yeah, I don't know.
So.
Do they really not, like, intentionally bleed in WWE? I know that's a thing on the indies.
Well, on the indies, people don't, wrestling companies don't care if you want a blade, but in WWE, I mean, Batista got fined, like, what was it, $100,000 for blading in a match one time on a Raw. Let me see. Batista fined by WWE. Yeah. Batista was fined by Vince McMahon $100,000 for blading. It says right here. Where was it? The main event of the 800th episode of Monday Night Raw featured a new heavyweight champion, Dave Batista, freshly defending his title against Chris Jericho. And before their steel cage rematch on Raw, Batista discussed with Jericho that he would blade. There was no doubt with either of the competitors. In the art of blading means you're going to make yourself bleed. However, they didn't envision the yelling and furiousness afterwards. But yeah, in the cage match with Jericho, he gigged, cut himself on purpose, made himself bleed on purpose. Vince got super mad and fined him $100,000. Yeah, that was what, 2000, Oh, I don't even know when that would have been.
2008, I think.
That's what I was thinking, but I wasn't sure. You're probably right on that. But yeah.
Yeah, I think it was 2008.
Vince got super pissed. And Batista once said about it, I was just heartbroken. Vince sucked the life out of me that day. I think that's the day I knew things were never going to be the same.
Yikes.
But also, Vince not in charge anymore. Triple H is somebody that used to blade in the past. So, I don't think, like, because they're, you know, a more family-friendly show, they don't want blood all the time on the show. But if it really pays off for the story like it did tonight, then go for it. So,
I mean, I know a lot of times when they show like heavy blood, they'll like turn the screen like black and white.
Yeah.
I think that's, or, I think or that's
when,
a thing.
Yeah, or when they post the photos on their website and there's blood on anybody, they post them black and white.
I remember watching Roderick Strong versus Ilya Dragunov on YouTube, and once, like, I think once Dragunov got like super busted, they like turned the match black and white.
Interesting. I don't remember that.
I think that was like 2021. I'm pretty sure.
NXT UK, right?
I think it was just regular NXT.
Oh, I see it here. I'm going to look it up real fast. Yep, I found it. But yeah, crazy episode of Raw. I want to say thank you guys for joining us here. Twitch.tv/PW Unlimited, YouTube.com/Pro Wrestling Unlimited, and podcast services all around the globe like Stitcher, Spotify, Google Pod, Apple Pod, Anchor, iHeartRadio, and so much more. Remember, if you are watching live on Twitch, you can help us out a couple of different ways. You can either help us out by hitting that donate button down below or by donating Twitch bits in the live chat. Also, remember, you can help us out by subscribing to the channel one of two different ways. You can either subscribe with a tiered subscription, or you can subscribe with Amazon Prime. Because remember, if you have Amazon Prime, then you have Prime Gaming. Prime Gaming gives you a lot of cool things like free games, free stuff for games, and you always get one free subscription to any Twitch channel you want to subscribe to throughout the month. And I'd greatly appreciate it if you did right here, Pro Wrestling Unlimited. Also, remember to help us out over on YouTube as well. Hit that subscribe button. That way you know when we post new videos. That way you know when we go live and when we post things to our community tab. If you want to support the channel, you can do so by becoming a channel member. It's a great way to support us. And also, if you want to get your comment, question, or concern read live on the air, donate a super chat on while we're doing one of our live streams, and we will make sure to read your comment, question, or concern on the air. And finally, head over to the Epic Game Store. Head over to the Epic Game Store and buy something. Whether you're buying a new game, whether you're buying an old game, whether you're claiming a free game or getting bucks for Rocket League, Fortnite, or Fall Guys, use this code right here, PW Unlimited at checkout, and you will be supporting us at no extra cost. Right now, they have their spring sale going on. You might want to check that out. They've also got, which is now available out now, Horizon Forbidden West, which is a great PlayStation 5 game that is now on PC. Also, you can go claim the free games, the Call of the Wild, The Angler, and Invincible Presents Adam Eve. And then also, get some stuff for Fortnite. Whether it's regular Fortnite, Lego Fortnite, or Rocket Racing, Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy is coming to Fortnite soon. So you might want to use this code, PWUNLIMITED, when you're picking up his skin in the item shop. But as far as the show goes, also, I'm scrubbing through this Roderick Strong, Ilya Dragunov match. And I'm not seeing any of it going black and white. I don't know if it was just from...
I know when WWE uploaded it on their YouTube, it was black and white.
Oh, maybe this is from the original broadcast then.
That's the original broadcast, but like when WWE, they upload it, they turn it black and white.
All right, let me see. I think I found it.
Oh, yeah, yep.
I found it. I think I found the one from their actual. Yeah, this is from WWE's. All right, let's see. Yep. You're right. They did. Yep. Yeah, I've never noticed that they do that on the YouTube videos. I always know they do it for their photos, but I don't think I've ever noticed it on the YouTube videos. Interesting. Shows how much I go back and actually watch WWE matches on YouTube. I guess whenever I go back to watch a WWE match, I just find it on Peacock.
I mean, it's easier to find it on YouTube, though.
Most of the time, yeah.
It depends, really. Like,
yeah.
Like, if it's like an episode of Raw or SmackDown or NXT, it's easier. But if you want to watch a pay-per-view match, then go True. To Peacock.
Yeah, you're right there. So as far as Monday Night Raw goes, show opens up and they showed CM Punk arriving at the building at 12:51 p.m. today. There was a recap of the kind of not-so-great Cody Rhodes-Roman Reigns segment for SmackDown. Like, before we get into Raw, what did you think of that Cody-Roman segment from SmackDown last week? Did you see it?
I saw bits and pieces of it.
I thought it was kind of lame.
I mean, yeah.
It was very anticlimactic. And the last, like, 5-6 minutes of the show, nobody said a word. It was just Jimmy and Solo showed up. They walked over to Roman, and then all of a sudden there's Jay and Seth. And then they walked in front of the Bloodline and laughed at him. Like, what? Yeah, no. The Cody Roman segment from SmackDown last week was not that great. But then they come back tonight, and they just killed it on 50,000 different levels. So Cody opens up the show. Enters to a huge reaction tonight in the Allstate Arena, Chicago, Illinois. New set alert, but not for permanent-wise. So like we saw earlier this year, I forget what city they were in, but they had a different set for that show. There was a different set for tonight's show. The reason they did that was because they wanted to maximize how many tickets they can sell. They wanted to get that 15,000, and so they had to do a condensed set. I think they should keep it with a smaller set. I actually liked it better than the big, huge set. What did you think of the smaller set for tonight's Raw? The smaller screen.
I mean, I didn't really think it was like that big of a deal breaker at first because I didn't really notice a lot of change on the TV side, at least.
True.
But I'm sure it was pretty different for people who were actually there, though. But I think for TV, they still made it seem like it was a big screen.
Oh, I got to show this on screen. Hold on. Finally. WWE has done us right. WWE, as I'm going to show you here, hold on. Wrong button. Let's put this on screen. WWE has finally given us a new render for The Rock. No longer do we have a 14-year-old render. Actually, I'm going to show you guys something really quick. I'm going to show you guys how to get the full HD version of the render. So if you guys are interested in stuff like this, this is what you do. You go to the Superstar page, you right click, you click open in new window. You'll then open it in a new window. You then see the full render here. Now you can save that, but then when you save that, it's not going to be as big as it can be. It's not going to be super big. It's going to be like 1080 by whatever. But what you do, and it's going to kind of be hard for you guys to see on screen, but what you do is you go to the address bar at the top. 99% of the time this works. You put your cursor at styles. So it's F/, and then you put your cursor at styles. And you highlight everything down to all. So the slash right before all, you also delete that so that it says www.com/F/all. Click enter. Boom. It now gives you the full HD render of just about every wrestler's render off their Superstar page. I know, like, it doesn't work for Andrade. At least it didn't earlier today because I tried to grab his and, yeah, it gave me a unable to find kind of error, but it works for The Rock's new render, so that's awesome. We finally got a new render of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I'm going to save that really quickly. And I do want to say thank you to, hold on, I saw somebody in the chat that tipped me off on that. It was
Jeremiah Saint.
Yes. Thank you, Jeremiah. And if you guys want, we'll be uploading that to our DeviantArt Wrestle Render. So that way, you don't got to go through all the hassle. Just go to our Wrestle Render. It's the pinned tweet on my Twitter. Twitter.com/TimmyBuddy. And that way you can go over there and grab all the resources that I've been uploading slowly to help you guys out if you do create your own graphics. So
what do you think is easier, creating your own graphics or editing? Like, editing. Like video editing.
Oh, video editing. Video editing for sure. I can edit a video.
I've been struggling with that so much for one of my classes.
Yeah, I can edit video so fast. I mean, granted, I've been doing it since 2009, 2010. But editing a video is a lot easier because when you're making graphics, you got to be thinking, okay, the creative process is 100 times different. That's the whole point of it. Because my whole thing is, for the most part, I want to create something that looks good, but it's not too close to what I'm copying. Like if I'm making something for WWE, granted, I just copied AEW's new graphics for Dynamite, but for the most part, like for all my pay-per-view graphics, try to make them in my own way. So it's not just like, I see what WWE made, I see what AEW made, I'm going to copy it. Nope. I want to create something of my own, basically. So I find that harder because of the creative process that it entails. But Cody opened up the show. Great reaction in Chicago. And where was I? They told us WrestleMania is coming up in less than 2 weeks. And Rhodes says that he can come out here and say nothing because they were in the awkward 2 week period leading up to WrestleMania. Pat had the crowd acknowledge Pat. Rhodes had the crowd acknowledge Pat McAfee and Michael Cole. Rhodes then spoke about Roman Reigns, who referred to him as a politician. Crowd chanted, "Roman sucks." Rhodes said that people should know that when he made a promise, he's going to keep it. And that was a through line for the end of the show tonight, keeping your promise. Cody said it here. When I say something, I keep my promise. He then says later, Rock whispered something to me that he can't keep the promise on. So he actually did, though. A fan asked if he would be the best man at his wedding. Rhodes said to explain to his wife that not only did he agree to it, but he was also paying for the bachelor party. He also agreed to a 5-year-old's birthday party, and the kids in the wrestling club would attend both nights of WrestleMania thanks to him. He did these things and asked for nothing in return. And so I want to talk go for it real fast because I want to talk about that for a second, but go for it.
Did you mention the part where someone had like a sign at a live event and he said, "Cody, be my best man at the wedding"?
Yep. That's great.
When Cody explained that, he was like, he saw that sign. He's like,
He's paying for the bachelor party too, apparently. So I want to talk about this really fast, about Cody doing things for the fans. I had a almost heated discussion with somebody over the weekend about this, because there was a kid on TikTok that's been posting a bunch of videos of him meeting wrestlers outside of shows, where like he'd walk up to the fence and be like, Rhea, can I get your autograph and a picture? Or Drew McIntyre, can I get your autograph and a picture? Liv Morgan, can I get your
before? I've seen that kid. Like,
yeah,
he'll either ask for an autograph or a picture, then he'll ask like who's your favorite wrestler growing up, or what's your favorite finisher?
So I had a discussion with somebody that was basically like, oh, look at Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan was the example they used for me. They're like, look at Liv Morgan. She's outside the building taking pictures for fans, and she doesn't even know if this fan paid for a ticket or if he just showed up to the building to try and get an autograph. And I'm like, well, fair point. But what are you trying to say here? And he's like, Cody only takes pictures for paying fans. You have to pay to get Cody's attention. He's only he tried to argue with me saying that Cody's only signing stuff and taking pictures with the people that pay the most to get into the show. And I told him, that's not true. Because when I went to the live event, it's like 3-4 weeks now, I was sitting at the very tippy-tap top. And there were people sitting near me that they actually lit after the show was over, go all the way down and try to meet Cody. Now, I don't know if they did, but they allowed them, once they came down from the top area, to go down to the lower area and walk down there when Cody was taking pictures and signing autographs and stuff. So just to say that, oh, Cody will only sign for the people that pay the most money, he won't do it for the fans for free, though that ain't true. That ain't true. Just because there's no video of Cody walking up to the fence outside the building doesn't mean he wouldn't do it. So, yeah, I had a discussion with somebody about that over the weekend. They're trying to make it seem like Cody only does it for the people that pay, but wouldn't do it for just anybody. And I'm like, yeah, that's not true. So, Cody, go for it.
I mean, check Cody's TikToks. I mean, he reacts to a lot of like fan stuff on TikTok. That's not him.
Cody's paying for like 15 kids and whoever else is going to chaperone them to be at WrestleMania both nights. Now, granted, Cody says he's paying for it. We don't know if WWE's just giving him tickets or not, but still.
I think there was another kid who had a sign at like a Raw or SmackDown or live event that said, like, help me make it to Mania. And he said, you and your dad are both going to Mania on me.
Yeah, I saw that. So back to Cody here tonight. He said the reason he did these kinds of things, the reason he did these things were lost on Roman Reigns. Roman can't understand why he does things for others. Roman dressed and spoke the way he did for a reason. He acted like a champion because the champion wasn't actually here. I love that line. Ghost says he respects Reigns, but also the man who screwed him out of the biggest dream last year. Rhodes then said to Reigns, quote, I hate your guts. Rhodes says that it was his fault that Reigns and his cousin couldn't have their wank fest at WrestleMania. It was his fault because he won the Royal Rumble. Rhodes then admitted that he couldn't do it alone. He asked for nothing but except for this time. He asked for the fans to be there with him, to go on this ride with him and Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. Crowd cheers and he says, now do one more thing with me. Everybody, point at the sign with me. Cody, everybody in the Allstate Arena points at the sign as we then hear, if you smell what the Rock is cooking. And I lost my shit. I said, at that same time, I was watching Raw. I was on a work call with my buddy because we had just got off on, we were on the back end of a work call. Because right before Raw started, we were on a business meeting. And so when Raw starts, the business meeting's over. We stayed on because we were working on one other thing. And I just go, oh, fucking shit. He goes, what the hell just happened? I'm like, The Rock just showed up unexpected, unannounced. What the hell's about to happen? He's like, oh, well, I guess that's cool. He's not a wrestling fan. So he was just like, oh, I guess that's cool. So Rock comes out. They do the entrance and everything. The lightning, the Black Adam style entrance. Crowd's booing and also chanting, holy shit. And this is awesome. All at the same time. Rock slowly makes his way into the ring. Him and Cody are staring at each other as the crowd starts chanting for CM Punk. Michael Colvin says, he'll be here later. Rock then leans in, whispers something to Cody that we now know was, tonight, I'm going to make you bleed, or I'll make you bleed. He then backs off, walks out of the ring. Rocky sucks chants from the crowd, and then he leaves. Cody's kind of like, what the hell? He sends it to Jackie Redmond in the back. Jackie then goes, I'm going to try and get a word with The Rock. If The Rock comes by me, should he come by me right now? And The Rock walks by and she goes, Rock. What did you say to Cody? And he's like, ask Cody Rhodes. And he walks off. Overall, what'd you think of Cody's part here at the beginning? The surprise from The Rock? And yeah.
I thought the Cody stuff was really good. I liked the part where he had the fans point at the sign with him. I thought that was really cool. And I thought,
yeah,
that's like a really cool thing that WWE can use like going forward for like other things. And the Rock thing, I thought that was really cool because it was really unexpected. Like, yes, no one really expected the Rock to be on Raw. Normally everyone normally expects Rock to be on SmackDown because that's where Roman is.
Well, we do know officially, they announced it last week, Rock will be on next week's Raw, the final Raw before Mania. So they did already tell us that he will be on Raw next week. But I get what you're saying. He's only ever been on SmackDown since basically the whole storyline started. Yet, if you notice, this was the first time since that January 1st show that The Rock wasn't advertised. Rock showed up unadvertised, but every time he's been on SmackDown, they've told us Rock will be there. So that was very interesting that they did a surprise, which granted, they didn't need to tell us ahead of time because The Rock, because with them being in Chicago and CM Punk being announced for the show, they sold it out. Over 15,000 tickets by the end of the day. So it's like they didn't have to advertise Rock to try and make sure it was a sellout. It was already a sellout. But I wonder how this does for the rating. Like, do we see, so technically Rock would come out in the second quarter. So if you look at like the quarters, Cody was there for the first 15 minutes by himself. Then the Rock comes out and that would be technically the second quarter. So we'll see if there's a bump in the second quarter. If there is, then word of mouth spread quickly. Moving forward. Also, speaking of the rating, I wonder how, like, usually we see now that it's daylight savings time, it's not as big of a drop-off at the end of the show as it usually is. So I wonder how much that drop-off is if people think, oh, I got to wait around to see if Rock comes back, or if they've been conditioned from the SmackDowns of, oh, Rock does this thing at the beginning and that's it. Do you think people would have, because did you think Rock was going to show back up at the end of the show?
I didn't really expect it, no.
Because, and there, here's where I think they did wrong, possibly. Rock whispered, tonight, I'll make you bleed. So if you caught that or saw on Twitter people figuring it out, then you would have in your mind, Rock might show back up later. But if you didn't catch what the Rock actually said, you probably, oh, one and done. Rock's there. Rock's gone. Just like normal, one segment, now it's over. So that's the thing where it's like, I wonder how this does in the rating for the end of the show as well, because they didn't flat out tell us Rock will be back again or that Rock might show back up towards the end. We go to the Judgment Day. Go for it.
Does the ratings really bother Triple H that much, though, to where he would have to say, like, oh, the Rock is going to show up at the end?
I mean, yes and no, because the better they do in the ratings, then the more, I guess you would say the better they do in the ratings. Ratings, I think, are more for the network than maybe Triple H. I could be wrong there. I don't know. But the network is like, we need good ratings so that way we can show the advertisers, hey, here's the areas of the show that do the best. You may want to advertise in those hours or those quarters. So I think it might be more for the network than Triple H, but who knows? I don't know.
I mean, I didn't really think the ratings really bothered Triple H like that much, though, because
yes and no.
It may bother him a little bit, but it wouldn't bother him as much as like people would say it would.
I mean, if it's like during football season and you say, oh, 300,000 people, 400,000 people left the show from the start to the end, that might bother him a little bit, because and then he might be thinking, well, what did I do wrong to not keep their interest? 400,000 people. Because that happened during football season. There were one or two games where it started strong and just gradually went down almost 400,000 towards the end of the show. So, I mean, that's something that would make him go like, okay, what am I doing wrong here to not keep their interest? Now, if it's like 100, 200,000 off of a 1.7 million viewer show, not as much. But if it's a higher, I think it really depends on the drop off.
Well, because I know when he ran NXT, he did an interview where he was asked, like, what were your thoughts on like the war ratings with AEW? Mm. And he said, he's like, well, congrats, AEW, BR developmental.
Well, yeah, that's a completely different, that's completely different than NXT to the main roster, though. Like NXT, yeah. NXT is more about, hey, do we do a respectable rating at least? Then, oh, we want to be number one. We want to have the highest rated, not just highest rated wrestling show of the week, but we want the highest rated, you know, show on Monday night. Highest rated, you know, with SmackDown a lot of weeks, they're the number one, like, entertainment show. Granted, some, like, Survivor will sometimes outdo them. But there's been weeks recently where SmackDown was the highest rated show non-news of a week. I think it's happened once or twice this year. So we go to the back over with Judgment Day. Rhea was talking to Dom and she's like, hey, you showed up on SmackDown. Why didn't you tell me? I would have gone with you. He's like, I understand. Yep, that was on me. I should have let you know. She's like, yeah, Judgment Day. We always keep each other in the loop. He's like, next time, I gotcha. Damian Priest and Finn Balor then told JD, you need to take care of this Ricochet problem tonight. Priest then said that he had a plan. to get the odds in their favor come WrestleMania. JD said that he would handle Ricochet, and Ripley was less impressed and told him, just go win the match. It then aired Dominic costing Rey Mysterio's match against Santos last week. They should have shown that first, so then it would have made more sense when Rhea was like, you should have told me you were going to SmackDown. Because, like, if someone didn't see SmackDown and they had that exchange, they would have been like, wait, what happened on SmackDown? I think they should have showed the Dom segment for SmackDown, even though it was like a 30-second thing. Probably should have showed that first, but it's apples to oranges, whatever. Let me get our first match of the night. This match went almost 15 minutes. It was like 14 and a half. It was Ricochet versus JD McDonagh. Again, another great Ricochet-JD match. Like I said earlier, they did great when they opened up that gauntlet a couple weeks ago, and they worked great again tonight. Ricochet hit a dive about a minute and a half into the match, and we go to a break. When we come back, McDonagh was in control. Ricochet came back with a handspring elbow, springboard clothesline, and a standing shooting star press for a two. McDonagh responded with a Spanish fly for a two and a brainbuster for yet another close pin. Ricochet then nailed an avalanche poison Rana. McDonagh kind of landed safely off of it. He then hit a recoil, Ricochet that is, but Dom placed McDonagh's leg on the rope to break the cover. Ricochet then tried to go for a springboard 450, but McDonagh got his knees up and applied a cradle for a near fall. McDonagh was back in control after another break and hit a sit-out powerbomb for a two. Ricochet then hit a Canadian destroyer, which popped the crowd, and then went to the top, but Dom, I think Dom did a great thing here. Usually, like, you'll see someone on the top rope, someone will jump up on the apron and try to distract them, and then either get kicked off or the ref will tell them to get off. But I loved what Dom did here. It was so subtle. When Dom jumped off the apron and he jumped, he made sure his hands grazed the top rope, which then led to Ricochet losing his balance and falling. Usually you just see a wrestler, oh, ref, you caught me. I'll jump off the apron. But I love that slight little thing there where Dom just had his hands graze the top rope when he jumped down to make Ricochet fall. I loved that. It's the subtlety. The subtle little things. So he crotches Ricochet there. The referee then tosses Dominic out, tells Dom you gotta leave. JD gets distracted here. Ricochet slams him down, hits him with a shooting star press, and pins him to pick up the victory. Crowd goes wild for Ricochet winning. And again, I thought JD and Ricochet had a great match. What'd you think?
Oh, yeah. These two have like great in-ring chemistry.
Yes.
I'm curious if they still continue with like Ricochet doing stuff against the Judgment Day, or if they're just like, all right, we're done.
I mean, they got to be done at this point. Unless he's going to face either Finn or Damian, but they're worried about their tag titles. So I think it's they're done.
Maybe this could lead to like, as like the first piece of maybe Judgment Day splitting up.
Maybe.
Because maybe it's be like, maybe it's like, hey, or maybe like Finn gets mad at Dominic's like, why didn't you beat Ricochet? And then Dominic could be like, well, your boy didn't beat Ricochet.
Your boy lost twice.
Yeah. Because apparently the rumor is that if Judgment Day does split off, it's going to be like Finn and JD, then Dom and Damian still together.
Yeah, I have seen that rumor as one potential way to go.
And where would Rhea go? Would they just have Rhea do her own thing?
She'd be with Dom. I hope they don't split her from Dom. I think her and Dom are great together. I mean, eventually they have to, but not yet. Not yet.
Well, eventually they have to, because think about it. Like, did they hit their peak already?
I don't think so.
As, like, together. Because I know, like, when the Bloodline broke up, they didn't hit their peak, but fans were getting tired of the Bloodline.
Right. I don't think they've hit their peak, though. We see CM Punk walking around backstage. He's heading towards the ring. He's got a Chicago Cubs championship belt. They also show us that Jey Uso is here. Michael Cole, as we come back, announces that the crowd is a sellout. 15,810. Their 11th straight sellout. Now, I want to look at the WrestleTix number first, because that's a lot higher than what WrestleTix had. At least this morning. So I want to see if they've updated anything since Michael Cole made that announcement. Russell Tick stated, tonight's show is a complete sellout, surpassed 15,000 tickets, distributed. What's their number? See, Russell Tick's number was, they said that the building was only set up for 15,022. Yeah, Michael Cole said there was 15,810 people there. So, I don't know. I doubt there was 800 people backstage. But we come back and CM Punk comes down to the ring. This is a long segment. And I can see where I saw some people online going, hey, they talk too much. They talk too much. Yeah, well, if you thought they talked too much and didn't like the segment, screw you, because this is amazing. All three of these men were so good. So good. Punk comes out. Got his big arm brace on. He shook hands with Savannah Irving, asked for a microphone, and said that it felt great to be alive in Chicago on a Monday night. That everyone was asking him if he would be at WrestleMania, and the short answer, well, is yes. Punk felt great, but was not medically cleared and was not going to be medically cleared by Mania, but his mouth still works. Punk said that he was asked if he'd host WrestleMania. If you asked him that 10 years ago, who would have thought hosting was beneath him? But right now, he'd love to just be there. He mentioned commentary as an option as well. He said people have also suggested maybe he needs to referee something. Maybe a particular title match. He says there's a lot of people who felt the need to talk about him. Punk said that Reigns called him out on the McAfee show and then says, yeah, I'm just going to tell you, Pat, I don't listen to your show. I listen to The Experience and The Drive-Thru. And I'm like, oh, fuck. He just mentioned Jim Cornette's podcast. Wow. Okay. Punk said that
I totally forgot about Jim Cornette's podcast.
The Experience. Punk then said that he would see Reigns pretty soon as he climbs his way back to the top of the mountain while Reigns fell down the mountain. Another guy who talked about him was Seth Rollins. Rollins laughed at him for paying the price of being a professional wrestler. He thought that was funny coming from a guy with bad knees. Someone who hasn't talked about him, though, well, is The Rock. Perhaps that was because 10 years ago, Rock came face to face with Punk and realized that his arms were too short to box with a god. I love that line. He then said there was Drew McIntyre. And so did you see Drew's Twitter video this morning of him in Chicago?
I might have. I know he's been posting a lot of videos lately, so, a lot of them like at his home. So I've seen those.
So Drew posted a video this morning of him pulling up to a like back alley parking lot and going, I've been to Chicago many times, but I've never seen the sights. There's one place in particular I want to check out. So he gets out of his car. He walks over to the sidewalk. He takes a left or maybe a right. He takes a right. And he pans the camera, and it's Mindy's Bake Shop. He walks up to the door, and it says closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. But if you guys don't know Mindy's Bake Shop, those are the cupcakes, no, the muffins that CM Punk was eating when he did his infamous all-out press conference for AEW. He was eating some Mindy's muffins. So, God. Drew McIntyre is so good with his social media stuff. That's all him. He ain't being, like, told do this or given, like, direction or anything. That's all him. Like, when he was working out, he posted a video the other day of him working out, and he clicks a button on his TV, and he plays Cry Me a River in the background. So good. So good. But Punk messaged Drew McIntyre. He said Punk hasn't responded. Punk says he hasn't responded to Drew because he isn't terminally online and wants to handle things live and in person. McIntyre then enters, and Punk's like, all right, we ain't doing all this. We're going to get down to it. Cut his stupid music. Drew then walks out onto the stage, and he says something along the lines of, hey, I'm not cleared to fight. I'm not looking for a fight, but you can get your bitch ass down to this ring. Crowd starts chanting for Punk. McIntyre was like, in all due time, slowly walks down to the ring, walks around the ring, and McIntyre reminded Punk what happened the last time they were in the ring together. Punk asked if he was a Scottish warrior or an internet troll that wears a skirt, and demanded him get in the ring. And Drew's like, whoa, you might get in trouble for saying that in 2024. He then says, also, I got your name on the back of my shirt. And Punk goes, yeah, I never had to put another guy's name on my shirt to sell t-shirts. So there's a thing. McIntyre thought it was funny that Punk spent so much time in rehab, even though he's straight edge. He says, you don't drink, you don't do drugs, but you spend all your time in rehab. I'm like, holy fuck. And that's when this segment just was like, that line right there, from then on, well, actually, when he called him a bitch ass, but even there, like right when Drew came out, Punk was good by himself, but when Drew came out, everything was taken to another level here. McIntyre said, Punk completed him. When he felt like he couldn't push himself anymore in the gym, he thought about Punk. Punk again told him to get in the ring, but McIntyre said that Punk was from Chicago, probably had a weapon, and was going to get him like other people from Chicago. And so that plays into Drew's video this morning, now that I think about it, because Drew gets out of his car, and he gets out of the car, and he walks towards the sidewalk and goes, hold on. I need to hit the alarm on this car because we're in Chicago, and you never know what could happen on these streets. I was like, God dang. So that played in kind of to his video from the morning when he's like, well, I'm in Chicago and it's not safe here. Saying you're from Chicago, you probably got a weapon on you, Punk. McIntyre then said that everyone...
Is it because of all those like Chicago jokes where it's not safe there?
I guess.
Because I hear a lot of those. Like people be like, oh, like Chicago's not safe, you're going to get shot.
So McIntyre said everyone was realizing... Well, we all know all along that he was the chosen one. And frickin' Punk, I wrote this down, says, and I quote, chosen one? Who chose you? Who? What was his name? What paragon of good fortune chose you? Basically trying to get Drew to say Vince McMahon. God damn. McIntyre told him, enjoy this moment. Because he'd be out for months. He suggested that Punk watch his Mania match from commentary so he could witness him becoming the champion. Out with then comes Seth Rollins. Rollins faced off with Punk, and the crowd chanted for Punk. Rollins said that Punk and McIntyre were morons. He told Punk that he couldn't make decisions about WrestleMania and WrestleMania matches if you don't even have a match at WrestleMania. Rollins then pulled the fans instead, asked, should Punk be on commentary? Crowd cheered, but not that loud. They then chanted, referee, 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 and Punk laughed. Rollins then pointed at the large brace on Punk's arm and goes, that's your counting arm, you can't even use it. Punk then jumps down to the mat, leans on the messed up arm, and goes, 1, 2, 3. How about that? Punk then admitted that you might need an impartial referee when it comes to these two dipshits. And is that where Drew goes, PG, brother? I think that's where he said PG. Drew's just all of a sudden just... Drew's now sitting at commentary between Pat and Michael Cole with his legs up on the desk. And he's just like, PG, brother. Rollins told Punk that he didn't think about him at all. He didn't give a damn about Punk. And he was a non-factor to him. He could be a commentator or referee. Rollins really didn't care. Rollins said the Punk needed him to get a moment at WrestleMania. Rollins did like the idea of Punk calling his finest hour at WrestleMania, though. Rollins told Punk that he only wants one thing. Stay out of the way. Punk decided he would indeed do commentary for their match at WrestleMania. Punk said he would do something that McIntyre, Rollins, or Rollins' wife couldn't do. That's, quote, make Seth interesting. Punk started to leave to his music, but McIntyre interrupted because he wanted to get the last word. He said, cut his music. He ain't getting the last word. He ain't leaving like that. McIntyre then mocked Punk until Punk got out of the ring. McIntyre got in the ring, and Rollins dropped him with a super kick and then a curb stomp. this was almost, if not right around 20 minutes. It didn't feel that long, and it was freaking amazing. This was so good. Like, yeah, we always complain about long talking segments. Can't complain about this one when it's just so entertaining. What are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. This was so good. This was probably one of the best segments we've seen in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think they'll have Punk be on commentary or...
There's a good chance.
I don't see why he should be on commentary. Yeah. I don't think he could be a ref.
He could. I mean, I don't see why not, but I think doing commentary would actually be better.
Well, it would scare me if he was a ref because I don't know what kind of bumps he would take.
Well, yes and no. I mean, he doesn't have to take a bump. But, I mean, we saw he literally jumped down and got on that arm. So, I mean, he could move around. We've seen him do post-workout videos and stuff from the gym. So, I mean, we know WWE wouldn't put him in a situation where they thought he was going to get hurt worse. That's the thing. If it's a situation where they're like, no, we trust that you're not going to do any more damage, they would let him do something. If they think that there is a chance, then they're going to keep him out of that situation. I'm just going to say it here. People might not like to hear it. That ain't Tony Khan. Tony Khan over here telling his wrestlers, oh, it's okay if you work hurt. But even though Rhea might be working hurt, we don't know what's going on with her wrist brace. But also, I forgot to mention, there was a line where Punk went to say something and he cut himself off. He goes, wait, we're not on Netflix yet, so I can't say that. April knows what I mean. So he made a reference to his wife and made a tease that maybe once they get on Netflix, they can almost say whatever and do whatever they want. Who knows? Because there's no, like, if the crowd starts chanting, holy shit, or fuck CM Punk, or fuck Drew McIntyre, or fuck The Rock, I don't think Netflix is going to bleep it. I don't think Netflix is going to, you know, mute it. Because it's not like they're on TV, whether that's broadcast or cable, to where they would have to not have the F word on a show. Now, I doubt WWE's just going to let their wrestlers go out there and drop F-bombs all the time, but...
No, they would. I don't think they would. Hmm. When was the last time, like, they would, like, consistently say F-words? Like 2000s?
Oh, yeah, like, Attitude before...
It's probably the Attitude Era.
Like, but probably even... Probably right around the name change from WWF to WWE, I would think.
Oh, trust me.
And never on SmackDown back then, because SmackDown was on UPN and then CW, and you can't say an F, you can't drop an F-bomb on neither of those networks, because those are networks. Those are broadcast. So if they were...
Like the stuff that,
go for it.
You can go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, because if they were dropping F-bombs at all, it would have had to have been on Raw, because that was on USA back then.
There's so much stuff that WWE didn't during like the Attitude Era in the 2000s that they cannot do today.
Eee, choppy, choppy, pee-pee. Val Venus.
Like especially the DX stuff.
Val Venus getting his dick chopped off. Can't do that now.
Well, like, all, like, the DX stuff that happened.
True. Sean with his big sausage. Stuff in his pants.
Well, at the Edge and Lita scene on TV.
I mean, that was not Attitude Era, though. That was, like, 2000, what, 4? 5?
They still did a lot of like messed up stuff though.
Right. Yeah, the Edge and Lita sex celebration, that was Ruthless Aggression era.
What the JBL and Eddie Guerrero rivalry where JBL went to the border and called Eddie's family.
That whole storyline, that whole JBL and Eddie Guerrero, oh my god. And he was like, these Mexicans need to go back across the border. Like, what the fuck?
There was, like, something else. And, like, when he passed away, they had Ray win the Rumble. And then Randy said, Eddie's not in heaven.
Yeah. No, that was bad, too. That was bad, too.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah. No. JBL literally did a segment that aired of him in El Paso, Texas, at the border, trying to stop illegals from crossing the border, basically. I'm like, oh my god. Like some of the stuff they did back then was so bad. Yeah. So bad.
Jonathan YouTube chat said, do you think one day WWE would leave the PG and go to either PG-13 or TV-14?
Well, PG-13 and TV-14 are the same thing. It just depends on if it's movie or television. So it'd be TV-14. But to be completely honest, TV-14 and PG are not that different. Like, the only reason you would put a show at TV-14 is if you know there's going to be an excessive amount of blood. That's why you would switch your show at TV-14. But other than that, there's really nothing that they would do at a TV-14 rated show that they can't do now, I would say. I mean, The Rock's out here getting bleeped and muted left and right, cussing up a storm, and they're still PG. So it's like, I feel like unless there's like an excessive amount of blood, like someone's like just crimson mask on purpose, then you'd have to go PG-14, TV-14. But I don't think there's a need to be like, PG, TV-14. Oh my God, we need to go back to TV-14. You really don't. Because it's not going to make a difference at all. In my opinion, at least. So, Shinsuke Nakamura then cuts a promo on Jey Uso. Now, here's a question for you. I don't know who this person is. It said Meek Mill will be at WrestleMania in Philadelphia. Who's Meek Mill? Do you know who Meek Mill is?
He's a rapper.
I tried to look him up, and I saw it said rapper. Never heard of him. Granted, I don't listen to rap. I don't listen to country music. So I don't know who he is. But I looked him up, and apparently like he tweeted at Triple H and was like, my kid wants to come to Mania. Can I come to Mania? But I think that was all just to play up, like if they were already planning on him being there. He's doing something for WWE at Mania. Like they're collabing on something.
A lot of his music has been on like NBA 2K soundtracks.
Okay. Yeah, I've never heard of him, so I don't know.
He also performed at an NBA All-Star game a few years ago.
Nice.
So I mean, yeah, he's popular. I mean, he's not like as popular to where like every single person is going to know who he is, because trust me, I'm sure my friends probably don't know who he is.
Well, that was like last year. They had, and I can't remember his name now, Little Yachty or something like that, perform for the Usos entrance on night one. Because I see here on Twitter, someone tweeted, Meek Mill is performing Dreams and Nightmares at WrestleMania 40. So, also, according to WrestleVotes, at least one person is getting a live performance for their entrance this year. Because there's been teases of Cody possibly getting it with Downstate. And there's been teases of... No, what? You don't think they will?
I don't want Downstate to perform for Cody.
Why?
Did you see Downstate performing for Cody and AEW? That was terrible.
But then there's also the thing of Bayley's trying to get Paramore to perform for her.
I know there's the rumor that LA Knight's trying to get Usher to perform. Yeah.
Really? I haven't heard that one. That'd be crazy.
It would be awesome. It would fit really well.
Right?
Because apparently there's those memes where Usher's like they'll have Usher's song, Yeah, playing. Then every time when they hit the part,
I've seen those.
Probably LA Knight going, yeah.
So here's my thing. That would make history. Be the first time that somebody performs at the Super Bowl halftime show and WrestleMania in the same year.
I mean, it would have to be a surprise, though. I don't think they would announce it.
It could. It would be better if it was a surprise, but I could see him announcing it ahead of time. Especially the I could see them. I would see them announcing it, because then they'd be like, Usher performed at the Super Bowl, but now he's performing at WrestleMania, but not tell us what he's doing, you know? Just announce that he's going to perform. So that'd be kind of cool. But yeah, I guess this guy, Meek Mill, is going to perform. Like I said, they had, I think his name was Little Yachty or whatever. The guy, how's the song go? The song was in Blue Beetle. That's how I know the song. Like, what's the song? Like, buddy, buddy, something like that.
It's about rock.
Yeah, that. I know it from Blue Beetle.
I think that was Lil Uzi Vert.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
That was definitely
I don't know that rappers. I don't know rappers. I apologize. I just know the song. I just remember the song because it's in Blue Beetle. Even though that movie wasn't all that great, I thought it was fun watch. Movie wasn't all that great though. But yeah.
No, that was Lil Uzi Vert that sang "I Just Want to Rock" for Uso's entrance.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Blue Beetle either. I saw the trailer and I didn't think the trailer was all that good.
It's not the greatest movie. You didn't miss nothing. I would say though, the song sounds better recorded than he did sound live. Like last year at Mania, I don't know if it was the way he was mic'd or what. He didn't sound all that great live, but anywho. There was also a funny Snickers commercial with the New Day, Big E, Xavier Woods, and Kofi Kingston. Then we got a 2-minute match, Candice LeRae and Ivy Nile. And like, this wasn't horrible, but it wasn't all that great. They did a thing where Candice LeRae feigned a leg injury, so the referee stopped Ivy Nile from continuing the match. The referee then literally pulled her out of the way, and he like distracted himself here. This then led to LeRae stacking up Nile in the corner with her feet on the ropes and getting the pinfall victory. The ref didn't see the feet on the ropes, so there you go. Candice LeRae defeats Ivy Nile by cheating, and they teased Indy almost attacking Ivy, but then, yeah. LeRae then pranced around the ring in celebration, and Indy again not pleased with her cheating ways. So
I like this heel and heel Candace so much.
And
like, do you think eventually we'll get heel Indy as well?
Well, that's what I was about to say. They're slowly teasing that heel turn from Indy. Like every week, Indy's just slightly more feels like, should I do it? If Candace thinks it's all right, then should I do it? Because like when Ivy got knocked down or whatever, she was on the outside. Indy kind of walked over to her like she was going to do something, and then she backed off. So. They're teasing it. I think it's going to happen.
I mean, I know this really doesn't mean much, but I think it'd be really interesting if they had some storyline with like heel Candace and Indy with like babyface DIY and Johnny could be like, Candace, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But I don't think we'll get that anytime soon though.
No, I think it's going to be a slow burn thing. I think if they do the turn with Indy, it's not going to be till after Mania.
Right.
So then we go to the back. The New Day and DIY. This is a little weird.
Regeneration X.
Right. This was weird, though, because, like, they're all talking basically crap about each other. So I'm like, what the fuck? They're all talking shit on each other. Like, Woods has literally looked at Johnny and go, oh, we never won at WrestleMania? Or like he says something like, you guys have never won at WrestleMania. And he goes, well, at least we never sucked so bad that we didn't make WrestleMania or something like that. And I'm like, fuck Woods. Tell him how it is. And so R-Truth and Miz walk up. There's comedy going on. He calls Pat McAfee JBL. But in the back, you look past them. Drew McIntyre was having a conversation with one Paul Heyman. Didn't pay off with anything though. We didn't see a payoff from that though. I don't know what that's leading to. Paul and Drew speaking together.
I think it's probably going to lead to like Drew getting involved in the tag match.
Well, that's what I was thinking too.
Which I do think Drew's probably going to play a role in that.
There's a good chance. Try to weaken Seth before night two.
Maybe he'll probably hit Seth with a claymore like outside the ring when the ref isn't looking.
I can see that. Do that. Roman and Rock double team Cody, and that's how they beat Cody. Because I'm pretty sure Rock and Roman win night one.
I think so too. Because I'm sure that Roman versus Cody, that's probably going to have a lot of interference with it.
Oh, give me the most overbooked match ever. I'm down for it. We got the practically clean match last year, except for, you know, Solo at the very end. So give me the overbooked, just everything you can think of, crazy main event for Cody to win the title. So next up we have the New Day versus DIY. Truth and Miz joined commentary. Truth asked Pat McAfee where his cowboy hat was, and he goes, I'm not JBL. So, match went 6.5 minutes long. Nothing really happened before they went to a break. We come back, and New Day were in control. Most of this match happened during the break, and then eventually, Judgment Day come out. They lay out everybody, including The Miz, who tried to get involved and help. Truth then remained on commentary and tried to cut to a commercial break to avoid getting beat up. But New Day chucked Truth into the ring, and he fought them off until Priest cut him off at the razor's edge. Balor then finished him off with the coup de grace, and Judgment Day posed in the ring, standing tall over everybody. So, there we go. They're telling us that Judgment Day is the most dominant team right now. I'm still sticking true to my prediction. Awesome Truth wins. Truth pulls them titles down at WrestleMania.
I think so, too. I'd say they probably win the belts at Mania, then they'll probably lose them at maybe Backlash. I don't think it really needs to be a long reign.
No, you just want that big pop of Truth winning a championship, especially over Judgment Day.
I think that's probably what they're going for, and they'll probably just lose that Backlash, then maybe they'll have Truth and Miz just go their separate ways.
Yeah.
But I think this is one of those matches where, like, everyone in the match will shine. I think DIY will have some great moments. I think New Day, I think we've seen them in a ladder match before.
New Day? Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen them in the ladder match, and they're great, so we know they're going to do great. I'm sure we're going to get New Catch Republic as well. They'll do great.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's going to be New Catch Republic and then, crap, who's
there? Grayson Waller and Austin Theory.
Yes, Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, because AOP is going to screw the Street Profits.
And I think Legado is going to screw over Angel and Humberto.
Right.
Or, no, LWO, I meant.
Right. Because according to WrestleVotes last week, they did like a Twitter Spaces thing, like a little podcast on Twitter. And they said that, not announced yet, if everything goes according to plan, there's going to be possibly 3 6-man tags, 2 with the men, 1 with the women, if everything goes according to plan. So take that how you may. Because they said, it's either going to be Bobby Lashley versus Karrion Kross in a singles match, or Bobby and the Street Profits versus Karrion in the AOP. Then there's going to be LWO versus Legado. And then they also said that we could see Damage Control, Kabuki Warriors in Dakota, against Naomi, Bianca, and Jade. So,
I think we need to get Karrion Kross and AOP back down in NXT for a little bit.
I think they would do great down there.
Like, they honestly need it. If there's anyone like that needs it more on the main roster, it's probably them.
I don't know about saying they need it, but I think they would benefit for sure.
Because, like, you know, like when Karrion Kross like first got on the main roster, people were like so hyped. There was like that one rumor where Karrion Kross was going to dethrone Roman.
Well, see, here's the thing, though. People liked him in NXT because Triple H was booking him. Now Triple H is booking him on the main roster, and it's like, okay, this ain't the same Karrion Kross. But then if he goes to NXT, it's not Triple H in charge there. It's Shawn Michaels. So we don't know how he would be used.
I mean, I'm sure it'll still be used pretty well, though.
I could see it, yeah. Were they a 2-time NXT champion?
Yeah, 2-time NXT champion, I'm sure. He might win the NXT championship again, or North American title, whatever. I mean, one.
It would be cool. I could see like him holding the NXT title again. You put the tag titles on Authors of Pain and them kind of like run shop for like 6 months or something down there in NXT. I could see it.
He said he wouldn't mind going back down there under the right circumstance.
Exactly. Jackie Redmond's with Cody Rhodes in the back. She said, "What'd Rock tell you in the ring?" Cody's like, "I'm sorry, Jackie. I'm sorry to the fans, but I'm not going to disclose that. It's something that I wish not to repeat, but I will tell you he is not going to make good on his promise. It's a promise he can't keep." Well, Cody was wrong, because Rock kept his promise. It's Kathy Kelly, looking like one of the Cheetah Girls, interviewed Gunther. She asked her about Sami Zayn. Gunther said that he didn't have much to say about Sami, whose words were empty. He said Chicago was filled with schlummy nerds, just like Zane, and even they didn't think Zane can beat him. Gunther didn't even think Zane could beat Bronson Reed tonight. So, speaking of Imperium, Giovanni Vinci took on Andrade tonight, and this was a change. So, it was supposed to be Andrade versus Ivar, but they announced this afternoon, Ivar's not medically cleared, so Giovanni Vinci got put in his place. We don't know what happened to Ivar. We don't know why Ivar's not cleared, but they did tell us that Ivar had to be pulled from the match. As far as this match does go, the 7-minute match, it was good. Like, I thought Andrade looked amazing, but not much really happened, if I'm going to be completely honest. Andrade hit a couple of good-looking moonsaults, like he did Charlotte's moonsault to the outside. He then hit a running boot, but Vinci cut him off with a clothesline. Then that sent us to a break. We come back shortly after the break. Andrade went for another boot, but he missed the boot and turned it right into a back elbow. He then hit a twisting double underhook DDT, which commentary called the message, and he pinned Vinci to pick up the victory. I thought this was a simple but effective match just to keep building up Andrade. What'd you think?
I mean, it was a good match. At first, I was kind of confused why it was Giovanni Vinci, though, as his opponent. I thought that was a little random.
They quickly told us on commentary, it was supposed to be Ivar, but Ivar's not cleared. So, yeah, they said it, but it was like very, very quickly that they told us.
Yeah, still, I thought it was kind of weird that it was Giovanni Vinci and not like another singles guy.
They just found somebody that they could beat. And I guess they thought Vinci is somebody we can beat. I mean, who else would you have put in the spot, though?
I mean, let me check.
Because, I mean, there might have been like an NXT. I don't know. I didn't hear of like any NXT wrestlers being brought to the show tonight, so.
Zion Quinn.
I mean, yeah, true. Could have used him. He's technically a main roster superstar.
He's a free agent, technically.
Yeah, true.
I gotta pull up the Raw roster, actually.
All right, we can pull it up. I'll pull it up on the screen. Let's see. Superstars. Raw. Oh, also, I don't know if you saw today, they announced that the Roman Reigns A&E biography that's going to air this weekend was directed and executive produced by Paul Heyman, which is very interesting. All right, I have the Raw roster here. I mean, here you go, Apollo Crews. Did he just work recently on Raw anyways and get beat? You could beat Apollo Crews. Oh, no. That's what I was going to say. No, it was Andrade who beat him. Where's Dexter Lumis been? There's a question. Where the hell's Dexter been?
I know he was in like a... He made an appearance in a TV show.
Yeah, he did.
That was a while ago.
Tacoma FD, but that was a year ago.
But I think he started a wrestling school recently.
Okay. Yeah, there's really nobody I can see. Vincey's really, like, the only one. Like, if we're looking here, like, Odyssey Jones?
I haven't seen him in a while.
He worked SmackDown. So before SmackDown, he worked a WWE Speed 5-minute match. I think it was him and... I can tell you who it was. Fightful has the report. It was... Here, let me pull this up. It was... So they did two speed matches. Oh, Fightful's got an update on Ivar. Let's read this really fast. Perfect timing to find that. We're talking about that. So Fightful writes about Ivar. We'll go there first. Ivar was scheduled to face Andrade on tonight's WWE Raw, but that isn't happening. WWE Raw General Manager Adam Pearce announced that Ivar was medically unable to compete tonight and was out of the match against Andrade. In his place is Giovanni Vinci. We've asked about Ivar's status, and we're told that he's fine and is expected to be back in the ring in quick fashion. We weren't told specifically what is keeping him out of the ring right now. So it's nothing long term. Also, Where was it? Odyssey Jones took on Cedric Alexander before SmackDown last week in a speed match, and Tyler Bate took on Angel Garza. And interesting enough, Pete Dunne was listed as the agent for both of those matches. That's something new that's never happened before. And it wasn't like he co-produced and helped produce it. He was the only producer listed for the match. So that's an interesting thing to look at.
I know we've seen wrestlers be like co-producers before.
Well, yeah, like whenever, like when Nick Aldis or Robert Roode first started producing, they were listed as a co-producer for the first like month or so. But it's weird that a guy as young as him and still active, not, you know, towards the end of his career or anything, is over here producing matches, especially by himself, is the weird part. But as we move forward, I mean, go for it.
Yeah, he's only 30. Jesus. Yeah.
So, I mean, we know Triple H loves Pete Dunne. We've known that since NXT UK started, or whatever they were doing with the European Championship and all that. We've known that Triple H has always been high on Pete Dunne and everything he does. So
I'm still waiting for that old Pete Dunne singles run on the main roster. We've never gotten that yet.
Right.
Yeah, like I was honestly hoping for it whenever they split up the Brawling Brutes.
Hey, at least he's no longer Butch. That's his first step going forward.
I mean, when he was first Butch, it was pretty bad. But when Triple H took over, he was still like Pete Dunne, but Butch though. He had that like Pete Dunne gimmick almost.
So next up, we have Rhea Ripley and Dominic Mysterio coming down to the ring. Pat McAfee briefly mentioned or references that she's got a brace on her left wrist, but then nobody else makes reference to it. Her and Dom get in the ring, and Ripley didn't think that she was getting Becky Lynch's full attention as Lynch keeps fighting everybody else week after week. Ripley could have attacked Lynch after one of those matches, but she wanted to be respectful. Ripley wanted Lynch's attention and was getting pretty impatient. Dom tried to speak, and the crowd booed, which brought out Becky. Becky came down to the ring and said that she couldn't come out after one of Ripley's matches because, well, Ripley doesn't seem to wrestle on Raw anymore. Ripley said that there was no reason for her to fight ahead of WrestleMania. She didn't need the attention of the fans. If she wanted their attention, she could post on social media, and Becky's like, oh yeah, you want the attention by showing your ass on the internet. She said while Ripley was posting videos, Lynch was busy busting her ass every single week. Lynch said that there would always be someone newer and younger and hotter that's going to come along. But the long game in this business was about skill, merit, and survival. It's about how you responded when the chips were down and you weren't the chosen one anymore. Ripley hasn't experienced that yet, but Lynch would make her experience that at WrestleMania. Ripley said, you remind me of something. Dom, she reminds me of something. What are you? Oh, a cockroach. She said, you're hard to kill, but not impossible. Ripley wanted Lynch alive after WrestleMania to watch Ripley do what she does. Ripley wanted Lynch to sit on her couch with her daughter, Rue, while her daughter calls her mommy. I'm like, oh boy. Becky loses her freaking shit. Lynch gave her a pass on that, but said, don't ever mention my daughter again, or it would be the last words you ever spoke. That wasn't just a funny line that you throw around there. Like, it seems like she got a little pissed off for real. Lynch said that her father never got to meet her daughter. He would be proud of everything that she has done and the mother that she has become. It may be a joke to Rhea, but it was not a joke to her. Lynch said that there was nothing respectable about Ripley. The reason Ripley never attacked her after her matches was because she knew there would be no going back once she threw the first punch. Lynch told Ripley that neither of them would be the same after WrestleMania. Ripley then kind of started to go at Becky, but Dom held her back. Dom then instead steps to Becky. So Becky cracks him with the right hand and literally hits him right in the jaw. Like, legit hits Dom. Dom takes a fantastic bump. Lynch and Rhea then brawl. Ripley gets the better of it and shoved Lynch shoulder first into the post. Ripley then checked on Dom and Lynch attacked Ripley from behind. Officials then tried to break it up, but Lynch broke free and decked Dom again before going after Ripley, and they were finally broken up. I thought all was really good here. I thought this was another super effective segment. What'd you think?
Oh yeah, this is really good. I really like the part where Pat McAfee's like, it's like Becky has her fist right there, just circling around. Oh yeah,
the teleprompter stuff, or as they call it, the patastrator.
Right. Yeah, Pat needs to keep doing those.
Oh yeah, no, it's funny as hell. Honestly, I wouldn't be against Wade Barrett doing them on SmackDown. I think Wade could make them entertaining for SmackDown. If you want to, like, bring that to both shows.
Yeah, Wade Barrett would always try to do the whoop that trick.
Yeah. Copyright. He said, someone come after you for copyright on that one. That was funny.
Like, he was trying to imitate, like, Booker T doing it for Vengeance Day.
Yep.
He's like, hammer time. Oh, yeah.
I like it.
Fucking Shamon.
But yeah, no. I think Wade Barrett could make them if they wanted to do it on SmackDown as well, but it's exclusive to Pat, so keep it with Pat.
I mean, I could totally see it maybe for WrestleMania where, like, if you have Wade Barrett on commentary as well, like, Wade could try to imitate it and Pat's like, Wade, what are you doing?
So I'm pretty sure the commentary team, and I could be wrong here, but as we've seen in the past, commentary team is probably going to be Cole, McAfee, and Corey Graves. I had someone ask. Go for it.
Unless they want Pat McAfee to do something on Mania.
So that's what I was just about to get at. I had somebody ask me if Pat could work a match at Mania. Pat McAfee was on a podcast recently and basically said, yeah, I'm on so much stuff right now that if WWE asked me to work WrestleMania, I couldn't pass the drug test. I was like, oh, okay then. He's like, I'm on that rich people stuff. Basically, he said he's on a bunch of stuff to keep his weight down.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Do they ever drug test their commentators? I
would assume not. Unless they're going to get physical and do matches, but I would assume not. But yeah, he literally said, if WWE asked me to work a WrestleMania match now, I probably couldn't because I'm on so much stuff I couldn't pass the drug test. He's like, I'm on that rich people stuff.
Because I always assume like if you're on television, you have to get like drug tested.
No. Well, they weren't drug testing Brock because he's not full time.
I know AEW, they don't drug test.
Nope. So there's an interesting segment. Chad Gable was in the back with Maxxine Dupri when Sami Zayn comes up. And upon seeing Zayn, he walks over to him. Wasn't particularly interested in hearing from Gable. Zayn knew Gable didn't think he could beat Gunther and noted that Gunther didn't think he could beat Reed. Zayn wanted Gunther to eat his words tonight. Gable told Zayn, this is exactly what Gunther wanted. Gunther was ruining his focus. Gable told him to get his head out of his ass and focus on Reed. Zayn appreciated the words and shook his hand. So, very interesting. And that's not the last we see of these two. We'll talk about here in a moment. As we move forward, we had Bronson Reed versus Sami Zayn in a 9.5-minute match. Reed hit a shoulder tackle off the apron and remained in control after a break. Also, Bronson Reed with the new big chest tattoo. Now he's got one on each pectoral. Got one on each pec. Big old tattoos. Zayn came back with a clothesline, but became distracted upon seeing Gunther walk out on the stage. Zayn then fought back with the Tornado DDT. Zayn set up for the Huluva kick, but hesitated and looked over at Gunther yet again. Reed then dropped him with a clothesline, senton, and a tsunami to pick up the victory. So they actually had Sammy lose which I think was the right move for what I think we're going to be getting over the next week and a half or so. So any particular thoughts on the match? There wasn't much to the match other than to build up the second Chad Gable segment later.
I mean, not really, no.
Yeah, this is all really just to build up for what they do with Chad and Sammy here in a moment.
Honestly, I kind of thought Sammy would win the match.
Well, no, because I think they're going to have Chad Gable train Sammy, so Sammy needed to lose tonight.
Well, I thought Sammy would win just to make him like look strong against bigger dudes.
But no, that's where I think you might be wrong there. I think they want us to think Sammy can't beat Gunther, that Sammy can't get it done, and that Gunther's in his head. And so when he does beat Gunther, it's even a bigger deal, I guess you could say. Jey Uso cut a promo on Shinsuke Nakamura. Also at this time, the women's basketball game was ending. Caitlin Clark, Iowa game. So that could hamper the first part of this show in the ratings. And then maybe people come over after that. Because I know these Caitlin Clark games are doing mondo ratings. But Iowa beat West Virginia in the NCAA women's tournament tonight. Jey Uso got a promo on Shinsuke Nakamura. All of a sudden, Solo would walk up. Jimmy would then walk up. Jimmy said, "No yeet," and the two left. So we saw The Rock, Paul Heyman, Jimmy, Solo, but no Roman. Almost all the bloodline except for Roman tonight. Sami Zayn's in the back, and he's pissed off. He's throwing water bottles and losing his mind. He wondered how he could let this happen. Chad Gable came up and told him this is exactly what Gunther wants. He wants to be in your head. He wants you to doubt yourself. He said Gunther's game was more mental than anything, and he would beat you down until you gave in to all of his doubts. He said if Zayn really wants to win at Mania, you need to take a different approach, and I can help you there. So it looks like they're going to have Chad Gable train Sami Zayn to beat Gunther. But I like that to an extent. It's like, okay, I like it. But shouldn't you have somebody train him that's already beaten Gunther? Granted, there's nobody but like Ilya Dragunov. But it's like, how are we supposed to think that a guy that lost to Gunther more than once, well, kind of more than once, can help Sammy learn how to beat Gunther? What do you think? Because he had the 5-minute time limit thing and then he lost to him in the straight up match. So I mean, he knows how to get the best of Gunther-ish, but does he know the secret sauce of beating Gunther that he can teach to Sammy?
I mean, maybe it's like one of those things where like I figured it out, but I never had the chance to like face Gunther again to use it.
Right.
But
go for it. And then I'm going to talk about something I forgot from earlier. Go for it.
I forgot what I was going to say.
My bad.
You're good.
So I forgot to mention this, but I had it in my notes here. They had a graphic on the screen earlier that actually showed the top 5 most played superstars in WWE 2K24, which I thought was a very interesting and cool thing to put on the screen. I have the graphic here. It was number 5 was Randy Orton. Number 4 was Rhea Ripley. Number 3 was Jey Uso. Number 2 was Roman Reigns. And of course, number 1, Cody Rhodes. Top 5 most played superstars in 2K24.
I don't think I really had like a most played character. I know for 22, like the most like match type that I played a lot was Elimination Chamber.
So I know back in the day, like right now, I haven't done too many like regular matches. I've done like the GM mode. I've played through that. I've done some of the, what's it called? Showcase. And then I've just done random stuff here and there in the game so far.
The showcase sucks. Yeah. The showcase. People hate it.
It's not horrible, but it's not great.
People hate it because of how hard it is.
Well, that's the thing. It really stinks when you get like towards the end and you have like one objective left and then you lose and you have to start all over. It's like, God damn it, there's another 20 minutes I lost. But so when
me and my 20 minutes, it's more than 20 minutes, it's like an hour or two.
Well, it depends. It depends on how quickly you can get through stuff.
There was a couple
I got through pretty quick.
Well, there's always that one or two matches that has like 20 or 30 objectives.
The ones that really suck is when it's like you have to block three of their moves, and then it's like they don't do many moves back at you. There's some weird stuff to it, but no.
Or it's like you have to do like three combos or something.
Right. So
those combos suck. I hate doing those combos. Just let me fight them.
So the way I used to play WWE games back in the day, me and my buddy Drew would just play for hours. But what we would do is we always picked random wrestlers. Click that square button to get a random. You can click it up to three times. So if you click it once, you don't like who you get, you click it again. Click it a second time. If you don't like who you get the second time, you click it again. But whoever you get on your third time, you have to stick with. That's how we used to play all the time. You get three random picks.
I know how me and my brother would always do it for any game. Whether it's like Madden or WWE, we'd do like three randoms. You can pick from one of those. And if you don't like any of those like random wrestlers, then you get like a suicide spin. So whatever that lands on, you have to get.
Well, that's basically what we did. But instead of four, it was three. It's basically the same thing. Basically like, I don't like the first one. I don't like the second one. Third person, you have to stick with no matter who it is. So like sometimes it'd be like, oh, I landed on Kevin Owens. I'm not feeling Kevin Owens this time. Oh, second one. Oh, I landed on Stone Cold. I think I can get somebody better. Oh, crap. I landed on Dominic Mysterio. I have to stick with them.
Well, we don't really stop at the third one, but like we would always like pick, like do three rams and we pick from one of those three. And I see what you're saying.
So you get the three and then pick from one of the three. Yeah, see, not how we did it. It was you click the random, you either pick them or you lose them. If you don't keep them, you go to the next one. And you can't go back. That's how we would do it. So like there's been times where it's like, we're scooting through the randoms. He lands on like Brock Lesnar. And then I'm like, ooh, I need someone that can fight good against Brock. And I skip a Kevin Nash. I skip a Hulk Hogan or something. And then I land on like a JD McDonagh. It's like, ah, crap. But this leads us to our main event match of the night. Jey Uso versus Shinsuke Nakamura. The match itself only goes 7.5 minutes. About 2 minutes into the match, they go to a break. Coming back, Jimmy and Solo had entered the ringside area through the crowd. But as soon as they jump the barricade, there's Seth and Cody to take them down. Drew McIntyre then took this opportunity to drop Rollins with a Future Shock DDT outside the ring. So not much happens before all of this with Jey and Nakamura. Then eventually Nakamura grabs Jey and puts him in like a chokehold, but Jey gets out of it, hits a super kick. So Jey then runs the ropes, looks like he's about to spear Nakamura, and Michael Cole goes, oh, and the spear! And he runs the ropes again. He then hits the spear impact. And Michael Cole goes, and there's the spear. He didn't expect him to like double run the ropes. But he hits the super kick, hits the spear, pins Nakamura. And I look down and I go, there's still 8 minutes left in this show. What the hell? And we get a hell of an ending. Oh my God. So we cut to the back and Cody's fighting Jimmy. He takes Jimmy, throws him through a door to the outside. Solo then attacks, but Cody gets the best of him. Cody's beaten down Solo when The Rock would attack him from behind. Rock would beat the piss out of Cody. He's throwing trash cans at him. He's slamming his head against tables. And they're just fighting everywhere until finally he throws Cody outside in the rain. And the rain made this even better than it could have been. So it's raining, and he's beating the crap out of Cody outside. Cody's all wet. The Rock's all wet. He's ripping Cody's shirt. He's kicking Cody in the face. He's yelling stuff that they got to bleep and mute, or they got to mute out, and they're censoring him and everything. And so Rock then tosses Rhodes into the side of his bus. He then takes them, and he's like holding them over this, I guess, bridge? I don't know exactly. It looks like a bridge over water. And I'm like, oh, is this going to be like Stone Cold all over again? He's going to throw him into the river? But he doesn't. He then takes Cody again and throws him into the bus. Cody's then sitting at the front of the bus. Rock then goes, Mama Rhodes! Mama Rhodes, I got something for you. And he pulls up the weight belt. Cody then appears, and he's bloody. He goes, perfect timing. And he goes over to Cody. He punches Cody, punches Cody. He's got Cody's blood on his hand. He wipes his hand on Cody's face. He wipes his bloody hand on the weight belt that says Mama Rhodes on it. And he says something along the lines of, gonna have Cody's blood all over Johnson's hand. He then says, Dusty spoke about hard times, but boy, you don't know hard times. I'm going to teach you what hard times is. He said, quote, this is what happens when you fuck with the final boss. Rock then shoved Rose into the bus one more time, kneeled down with a bloody weight belt in Cody's face. He then looks right into the camera and says, look at your son, Mama Rhodes. Didn't have to be this way, but now this is the only way. And the show goes off the air. This was amazing. What'd you think?
Oh, yeah. Super amazing. I am hoping that they do that scene where he gives, where he tries to give Cody's mom the belt at Mania.
So you think he does it during his entrance or during the match or whatnot? And now that he's got the bloody belt, I think he would have to do it during his entrance.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe he enter. Well, here's what you do. Seth enters first, Cody enters second, goes over to his mom, so we know where, so that's the thing. He goes to his mom, so we know where his mom is sitting. Then The Rock comes out, and Rock immediately goes over to his mom and hands her the weight belt. She probably yells at him, get away from me, but, and yeah, go from there. But I think he should do it during his entrance. So then there's the thing of, like, she's sitting up in the front row, and the weight belt is, like, draped across the barricade in front of her the whole match or something. But this was amazing. This was awesome. This was a great, great Raw, great opening segment, great middle of the road stuff with, so it was like it opened great with Cody and Rock, closed great with Cody and Rock. Had a tremendous segment. I honestly think the CM Punk, Seth Rollins, McIntyre stuff was better than the Rock, Cody stuff. Now, granted, from an entertainment standpoint, impact standpoint, stuff at the end of the show was the bigger impact towards Mania. So, but even the Becky Rhea stuff was really good. The stuff with Sammy and Chad Gable. It's just a solid, solid A-plus episode of Monday Night Raw. Any closing thoughts?
Definitely the best Raw we've seen all year so far.
Not just that. I think it's the best wrestling show we've seen in like the last year, if not longer. Weekly television show. Best weekly wrestling show of any company. I got the poll going on Twitch. The poll is live on Twitch if you want to go vote over there as we check the other polls. Now, there's no Threads poll because Threads kept kicking me out today, like logging me out, and it wouldn't log me back in on the computer. So I said, screw Threads. So there's no Threads poll. Wow. Over 50 votes on Twitter. 100% liked the show of everybody that voted on Twitter. 100%. That's a first. As far as the YouTube community poll, 88%, and this is over almost 600 votes, 88% liked the show. 8% thought it was just all right, and 4% didn't like it. Reading some of the comments here, this person says, this show was incredible. This person says, amazing 10 out of 10. This person said, R-Truth and DM Hunk were straight up gold tonight. Yeah, that's the other thing. So, in the video that Drew McIntyre posted on Twitter this morning, he had a CM Punk shirt on, but then in blue writing, he wrote on it DM Hunk over the CM Punk logo in the middle of the shirt. Person says, the show was amazing. I have nothing negative to say about tonight. That amazing was gold. Versus I liked it. It was great and funny and great ending. Versus the ending was. Says the ending was, and then it's an ear emoji. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Versus says yeet. This person says way too much talking. I mean, I can see where people would say that. That's a valid point. But I thought all the talking segments were tremendous. This person says I didn't like Raw. Okay. And then this person says fake blood cringy. That was a fake blood. Cody ain't gonna know fake blood. Cody gonna gig himself to get color. That was Cody most likely. So we didn't see when Cody got thrown into the front of the bus, he then kind of disappears down. That's probably when he bladed himself. Or it's gotta be when he bladed himself, but it was a fake blood. No. Cody out there bleeding real blood. As far as the live poll does go, 87% liked the show, 10% thought it was just all right, and 3% didn't like it. And finally, everybody that voted on Twitch, 100% liked the show. With that, guys, that is going to wrap everything up. I want to say thank you for joining us here. Twitch.tv/PWUnlimited, YouTube.com/ProWrestlingUnlimited, and podcast services all around the globe like Stitcher, Spotify, Google Pod, Apple Pod, Anchor, iHeartRadio, and so much more. Luke, tell them where they can find you.
You can find me over at Twitter X at Petkin_21. And you can also find me over at Twitch at Young Grasshopper Luke.
With that, guys, have a great rest of your night. We'll be back on Wednesday for AEW Dynamite. We'll see you next time. Have a good one, guys.